Hey everybody, this is Jeff Play. You are watching CMS TV.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Chris Aiken Presents. It's me, Chris Aiken. I think that way. Yep, that over there. That is Mr. Eric Ferrantinos. And dude, we're live, like for real, not pretend live. We're for real live this week.
Live from Oceanside.
Man, what is it? Yeah, we're at the Beach Mansion West.
That's right. I'm at the Beach Mansion West. Chris is at the, what is it?
Frozen Tundra Midwest.
Frozen Tundra Midwest. Well, damn.
It ain't that cold here. It's probably, it ain't what you have. It's in the mid-40s here, so it's not terrible here. I'm not complaining too much, but yeah, man, it's good to be back. I sort of like the idea of doing this live. It frees up my whole day, which is definitely... I was able to do all work until 4 o'clock and then do the Seth show and then do this. This is, I think we're going to probably stick to this now because I like it.
And now that I'm using Susan's internet, it's a lot better and we can actually go live and don't have to do a safety net early broadcast to ensure the survival of it.
That's right. We're definitely making it work, man. Well, dude, lot going on. Obviously, you know, happy Easter a day late, I guess, man. What'd you do? Did you and Susan do the dinner, or did you do nothing, or what'd you do?
I did cook us an Easter dinner. We were supposed to have friends over, and they kind of stood us up. There was about like 3 or 4 friends that were supposed to come over. I did buy a ham. I made mashed potatoes. I had some good asparagus I made up, and it came out pretty good. I probably should have had Stoic Steve come and do it because I actually overcooked the ham a little. It got a little dry. Okay. The reason for that was because I was getting all this footage this weekend for the sea glass hunters.
Okay.
And I was in the backyard washing off all the treasures that I find and everything and taking pictures of it. And right. I wasn't paying attention to how long the ham was in there. But what was keeping me out there was I found some bones washed up from the sea. I need to find out if these are human bones. I feel so alone. I need to find out if these are human bones. Ow! Dude, I think I found, well, I'm hoping these are cow bones or something and not human bones. I can't get a definitive answer on it. Would you like to check this out?
I see those, man. Let me pull them up to the full screen.
All right. This appears to be like a femur.
Yeah, that looks like a human bone there, man.
It does, dude. And you can see it's broken. But this thing like is heavy. It feels there's some weight to it.
All right.
Okay. Here's this side of it. I'd say it's about this piece I have is about 6 inches, and about a couple inches wide.
Right.
This piece, it was near it. I don't know exactly what it is. It's covered in some kind of weird black stuff here, like some kind of weird possible tar or aging stuff.
Like somebody got stuffed in a barrel.
I don't know what causes this, but like on some parts of it, you can see it does have that kind of bone, bone look to it. On this side, it has like, put that up there, kind of little little squares, almost like gator looking right? squares. Oh, my goodness. But is this like piece of a whale bone? Now, I will say this, because of all the storms we have, one thing you can take me off of that, Chris. That we always end up having is overflow of the Tijuana River.
Right.
So, Eric, you is blurry. Oh, that sucks. Was that, am I still blurry?
Too bad. Okay. Hey, you look well, a little bit, but that's all right.
What was like, oh yeah. So the Tijuana River, overflows during storms. And okay. I'm thinking that that goes out into the ocean. And that's why I find weird stuff. Like yesterday I was out there and I found a chicken, a dead chicken on the beach. Jesus. As I was looking for sea glass, I ended up finding these bones sticking out. And I was like, damn. What does it say? StreamYard. This tab is... Oh, no, I see. My thing just moved. That's telling me something because my mouse moved over it. I found these bones. I found these bones, and I was freaked out. Now, I'm trying to, like, for this show, make it almost an educational show where right. I find out what everything is. Like, when I find a shell, I try to look up what kind of shell it is. If I hold up a rock, I try to, like, study... what kind of research, what kind of rock it is. Now, of course, if I find some bones, I want to figure out what kind of bones they are. But right away, I got an eerie feeling on this one because it was just like kind of heavy.
Hell yeah.
But it is possible that on a farmland or something, some dead cow bones from Mexico or something kind of made its way here. It's obviously looks like a big mammal of sorts, you know what I mean? But that does happen. These animals sometimes end up into a river and then end up into the ocean. On Reddit, there's a bone collecting site. I put the photos up there in an attempt to get the public's help on it from possibly experts sure. that know. But it's held up the production of my episode that I was going to put on the subscriber page because I wanted to, like, you know, if it's a crime scene, I need to turn these over. Or, like, yeah. it would be a much better episode if I know that's the case. So I was waiting, but it looks like I just can't get an answer. Maybe somebody tonight wants to chime in that took a look at it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it could be somebody. It could be somebody that got pushed off of P. Diddy's boat.
Possibly.
You don't know. I mean, it could. Who knows what it is, man? That's some.
Do you know how many
shit there?
Do you know how many people go overboard and die on cruise lines every year?
It's more than people think, right? It's like one every three boat rides or something, isn't it? It's some crazy number like
there's
that.
750
a year.
759 a year. Yeah.
And how many cruises run in a year?
That's hard to say because they do seem to run a lot. Although some of these events that we go on, they do use the same boat on some of the same ones. They dock and they become right. another event cruise of sorts. So they like each boat probably does, you know, a ton of events a year. It's hard to say. We'd have to research that one. But yeah, it's a lot of people, and I see it happening. The last one I know about was on the 70,000 tons of metal, I believe.
Yeah,
someone was getting chased by security and they jumped overboard and they were not heard from. It takes like 20 minutes to even like stop and start to
stop
turn
the
around.
Boat, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I've been on one cruise and I ain't gonna lie, just looking overboard scared the shit out of me. Just because one, just the thought of watching the boat sail away is just talk about the worst fear in the world. You're literally watching your life end. You're literally mm-hmm. watching your life end and just thinking, all right, eventually some fucking shark is going to smell me here and come and chew me to shit.
You know? I have heard of like dolphins coming up and saving people, which is kind of miraculous and cool.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be likely. I think that's the one in a zillion that happens.
Flipper, you know, comes to the rescue.
Yeah, more than likely, some shark in the middle of the night's gonna think you're a seal or something, and just take a chunk out of you.
That's why I don't even go out here. Like, I've thought of going boogie boarding, you know, and stuff, but I don't want to get munched.
Yeah.
So I don't do it. And I have been going like up to my knees on the low tide. I have been going out there and it's enjoyable. You know what I mean? To walk out barefoot. Oh, what are you doing? Charlie the cat, everybody. I have to pull her off before she starts
before she knocks everything
stuff
over again.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be bad.
Well, dude, it's crazy that you're finding bones now, but boy, if anything, this craziness that you're finding is making your pay channel definitely worth that $1 a month, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I was doing a multiple shows. I had one that I was starting to do called Tripping Out with Eric Fiorentino's, mm-hmm. but that one was a little challenging because you have to leave the house. You have to go to stores. I had said I'd go to mostly like vintage stores and places like that. And there's only so many of those. Plus some of these places I don't think are happy with the film in there, you know?
Really?
I went to a place in town. I don't want to name in Oceanside to get some costume stuff. And it's like a kind of overpriced. They're cash only there.
Oh, boy.
I saw signs, no pictures, this. I was like, damn, okay. I could see where this could possibly be an issue. Whereas right. the Sea Hunters, I'm finding all this amazing stuff every time I go out there. And right. it doesn't cost me anything to do it. And it's like, man, already I have so much footage that I'm behind getting done. It definitely gets the best response out of everything. So I think I'm going to kind of focus on that one. Do the Stoic Steve cooking, because that'd be a couple times. And what was a ton of fun was the Thursday night Fright Bite with Count Krakula and Mr. Chris Aiken. How yeah. awesome was that?
That was a lot of fun, man. I ain't gonna lie, I was talking about it on the CMS Saturday. I drank a little more than I wanted to. and not that I drank a ton. I drank 8 beers. I counted the next day and I drank 8 beers. I drank like 6 ahead of the show. And then I had that big stein that had two or three beers in it, or it had 2 in it because I drank 6 before. And by the end of the show, dude, I was plenty loopy.
You did have a really large stein there looking back.
I did.
You sent me the show, and today I was kind of editing it. I decided yeah. I'm going to put just the first like 7 minutes of us okay. chatting before the movie started, and I kind of had to sure. edit it for language and a couple of things and put in some laughter and stuff, which made it kind of funnier. Right. I am amidst putting that up on my main page because okay. we do talk about joining, how to join my subscribers page. Sure. But as Chris was saying, it's just $1, and you're going to get definitely at least like 3 episodes of Sea Glass Hunters, plus you'll get the Thursday night Fright Bite. Chris and I have committed to doing at least one of those a month.
Yeah.
And yeah. we'll have a crazy movie like Llamageddon, something along those lines where we could just have fun and it's a goofball experience for everybody. But I loved how my subscribers and your locals members were able to like make comments and be a part of it.
You sure.
know, like we were literally all at the same party. It was awesome.
Did you like the movie?
I liked it enough. I mean, it was it wasn't like they were trying to be a good movie. Like when you know right away that, okay, this is just a goofy movie. You don't yeah. have to take it seriously. And I didn't have to pay for it. Just Chris had to pay for it. So no
care.
Regrets from me.
Actually, I didn't end up paying for it because I got it free with a 30-day trial of Amazon Prime. I signed
so we
up
can,
for the 30-day trial.
Yeah, well, oh, shit. Well, we already did the one for the month. I was going to say, great, we're covered for a few more episodes. But,
brother, I'm a web guy. I can have new email addresses for years.
Okay, there you go. Cool.
Plus, I'm subscribed to everything. I mean, everything's not only on Amazon. I'm quite sure if we go to Netflix, we can find some real dogs. So, you know, but yeah, I enjoyed that fully. Like I said, the only negative I had to the whole thing was not even the show. It was the next morning because I just haven't. That was the first alcohol that I've even had at all. Alcohol, pot, anything in like 3 months. So I went okay. from stone sober for 3 months to 8 beers in an hour. You know?
There was a lot of mimosas being drank at my house. I'm sorry, you were going to say, so you were hungover when you woke
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I definitely struggled on Friday. I definitely was like, oh, man, that was tough.
I yeah, definitely we, was my feeling sister, it. But... My sister threw like a brunch the day before. We had some really bad weather that blew in here over the weekend. Okay. She was aware of it. She was trying to like move the, she was first for one doing the Easter dinner thing the night before because my nieces were going back to college on Sunday. They had to drive or something. So she moved it up and then it turned into a brunch when she heard about the weather. So one good thing about brunches is they typically have mimosas going or you know some kind of champagne, and there was a ton of that. We even brought a huge bottle, man. We were throwing those back. And then yesterday here at the Beach Mansion West, Susan and I were also drinking those. We had a repeat. But I'm glad that the show's later. I had time to recuperate today.
Recover. Nice. Yeah, well, I didn't do anything as fun as that yesterday. Although I did have a good day, man. I actually met up with my mom and my daughter and my son Mike, and we just went. We had the traditional Easter dinner of Chinese food at the buffet.
Really? That's fun. That's cool.
We went to some place called the Fun Buffet in my town here. And just went and had Chinese food, really. I mean, it was really just, it was something different. It was open. And my mom just hit me up, was like, hey, do you want to go and do this? I was like, sure. You know what? It was funny because she hit me on Friday and she's like, what are you doing for Easter? And I, my honest to God answer was, when is it? I had no idea at all.
It changes every year. Yeah,
well, the last and not only that, I was just not, you know, I don't know half the time if it's Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday. You know, I only know what day it is when my phone tells me, hey, time to do Chrisaka Presents or time to do, you know, that's the only way I know what day it is because I work at home. So it's not like I'm out, you know. And so I had no idea that Easter was coming and. It's like, all right, well, sure, let's go do something. So it was different. It was very low key for me, you gotta admit. I mean, just having a little dinner type thing was.
Were there other families there too? Who else was there? Anybody?
It was packed. I mean, we went at 1 o'clock, so and I think 1 o'clock was chosen. I'm pretty sure my mom picked a little bit later. Because she knows that I'm up till like 7 o'clock in the morning processing CMS from Saturday night into Sunday morning. So she went with 1 o'clock and I was like, yeah, that'll be good. 1 o'clock's fine. And in my brain, I was thinking, all right, well, everybody will go. They'll either go at noon after church or whatever, or they'll go later, like 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that. And no. 1 o'clock, this place was packed. Like, you know how those buffet things are. They have like three separate big things of buffet stuff, plus the guy cooking in the middle, whatever you call that. The hibachi or whatever that's called, you know, in the middle. Every bit of it was packed. Every time, everywhere you went, you had to kind of stand in line to get anything. You know, and it was like, and that was fine. I was just surprised how many people. I thought on Easter, everybody stayed home and grandma made a ham.
What do they charge per entry for an adult there?
I don't know. My mom picked it up, which was very nice of her. Yes. You know, she picked it up. But I know for four of us, it was $77.
Wow. Very affordable.
Not terrible.
Yeah. Not even $20 a person.
Yeah, it was pretty realistic.
When you do the math on how much it costs to like go and buy a ham and do all that stuff. I mean, I was pinching pennies. I found a ham at like Stater Brothers for like $2 a pound. It wasn't that great. And that was for like a half a ham that was supposed to be spiral cut, but it was like barely cut. On the other side of the spectrum, do you have honey baked hams out there in Ohio?
Sure.
Honey baked hams are way expensive. Those are like $100 for a ham. I worked there seasonally when I was young, like 17 or probably 18 years old. Me and my roommate, he got me a job there. I was the guy who threw the sugar on there, and he had a full on blowtorch. He looked like Dave Mustaine, like, and I looked like Kirk Hammett kind of back then. But Anyways, he would put on the mask and be blowtorching right. those hams. It was crazy. People would come in and try to steal them. Yeah, migrants and stuff would come running in and try to grab a ham and stuff. We'd always have to keep the door locked up in the back. It's a hot commodity around the holidays, but super expensive just to get that ham. Oh, yeah. And then you put in the side dishes and all that, and hors d'oeuvres and everything. And if you're having, you know, four or five people come over, it's probably what your mom did was way more affordable to make sure everybody got all they could possibly want to eat. You're mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
So you went your separate ways after, or what?
Yeah, that's it. We had lunch. We hung out and told stories. My kids told horror stories about me and their mom raising them, and you know, and
is that therapy? Is that therapy for kids?
Kind of is. Dude, it was therapy for me. It was shocking to me how much stuff I just didn't know about. Like, they were telling all kinds of right. stories about punishments and stuff. And I was like, I don't know any of this stuff.
Stuff they got away with where you had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, stuff they got away with, stuff they didn't get away with, stuff their mom punished them for that, you know, they accepted the punishment so that it wouldn't go, I'm going to tell your dad if you don't deal with the, you know, that kind of thing. You know, just right. I was literally sitting there going, wow. I know nothing about this, you know, and I was here. I worked at home all while they were growing up. So it's not like I was at my job or something where I was away. I was literally here, but I was just oblivious to everything that was going on. I feel like I was just a horrible dad because I really didn't know shit about what they were going through or what was going on. Nothing.
Well, quite crazy. That's a mom's job, isn't it? I mean, dad's out earning the dollars.
Yeah, but I wasn't out. That's the whole point. I was here. I was in the house. And they just were like, well, there was this time and mom took all the toys and she sold this. And I was like, what? What do you mean she sold this or that? Like, they're telling crazy stories that I just never heard. And I was like, ooh, okay. Must have had my headphones on extra loud that day.
The best things got good in my life when my mom went back to school. She had decided she was going to go back to school in the 80s and get some college underneath her. So when I was then getting home from school, there wasn't anybody home. My dad always was a corporate guy working somewhere sure. engineering and stuff. So now I was able to go there with my friends and party after school. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is the first time when you're like 15, you know, years old, 16, and you're like, hey, let's barbecue some stuff. Let's have a water fight. Let's get drunk.
Right.
Let's like break stuff. I remember one of the days, this was back when we had regular phones. This was like obviously like before cell phones. And sure. I heard the phone ringing and we had a big water fight while we were, you know, partying in the backyard. And I came running in with wet feet. And when I got to the kitchen and hit the linoleum floor, I totally lost my footing and slipped backwards. And the natural thing is to like, whoa, try to grab whatever you can. And she had like mm-hmm. a sideboard there that had a cloth that had a bunch of china on it. I like grabbed the cloth, whoa, this everything just went at least half the set was totaled. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm not going to be able to glue this. I'm like, you know what I decided to do was what was still okay, I put there, and then just got rid of the stuff that wasn't okay, the pieces of the other things that I wasn't going to be able to fix, and kind of got rid of that evidence. Man, it took like 6 months before my mom like was on the phone and then just stopped and looked at that set for some reason, stopped and looked at it. She just lost it. I remember she really lost it. She used to just scream. She could scream my name for miles, but it was like, wah, wah. I just turned into like a death metal song coming from downstairs.
It's hilarious.
Scary, but it threw me off because I was like, whoa, it had been so long. I thought I kind of got away with it, but
that's hilarious.
Good times.
Yeah. I'm going to address Moose Green here. Stoic Steve should give Chris some cooking lessons. First of all, does it look like I can't cook? I mean, look at me. I'm a big fat tub of shit. I can cook. I will say I can cook. I don't like to cook. It just feels like 30 minutes of wasted time when I could throw fucking burritos in the microwave. But that's, you know, I which is terrible for me. I know that. But I'm doing better at, you know, trying to eat a little better. But, yeah, I certainly know how to cook. I was in the fucking military, for God's sakes. You have to learn to cook in the military. Mm-hmm. Or you will eat nothing but burritos. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Is that if you're not going to the mess hall every day, you have to learn how to cook. And I learned how to cook, so I know how to cook. So you're wrong on that one, Moose.
When you if you live with a lady and you're trying to cook, you end up having to do a lot more fancy stuff and change it up, but you know, because you know, the lady in the house ain't gonna put up with that, you know.
No,
just like guys could eat probably the same thing 3 or 4 days in a row. I used to do that all the time as a bachelor. I would just make like chicken and rice, and I knew I was saving money. I didn't care, it was good enough, but like, a girl's gonna get tired of that, you know.
And then dude, when I first got single after when I got divorced, I really had to revisit how to cook, because there's only so many times you can go to the fucking restaurant, you know. Forget the financial part of it. It also stops being, if you date somebody more than twice and every time you're going to the, you know, a restaurant, it gets old, and you can change it up by saying, let me cook for you, babe. You know, especially when you're trying to close the deal that first time. That's the best way. You bring it to your house, you cook a good meal, you know, you cook a nice steak or something really good. That's a game. That's a closer, man.
No, it does create a sense of excitement, and it arouses all the senses to hear the sizzle, to smell get a whiff of what the rock is cooking.
That's right.
Or Stoic Steve.
I'm sure Stoic could teach me a thing or two, but yeah. So I'm going to put this one up. We're not going to address it, but I'm going to put it up. Juan is free to do what Juan is doing, Kevin. I'll address this. Eric will say nothing. We addressed it on CMS. That's as far as we're going to address it. We're not going to put Eric into harm's way here, having any kind of conversation about this shit. But that's why I put it up there, so that people don't keep throwing these things, because I know it is a story that's out there. So
every town needs stuff to do. And that night, if you're anywhere near that town, go check Juan out for sure.
Yeah. Friday in Chicago.
Yeah. And I'm sure his band's going to be awesome. And I know Tony, the guitarist, too. So he's a friend of mine. So now you're not going to hear anything bad from me. But I will say that our band's like super excited to get out and play. I know I was hearing from Piercy a few days ago. We're heading to Texas. We have someone new on the drums. I'll let it be a surprise, but that'll be some news.
I know who it is. I know who it is. We'll be kidding.
You maybe you do. I'm maybe I had a sure weak moment and I let it slip out. I think you may have told me. No, but it's definitely somebody you guys would remember from the 80s. And I know this because I saw the plane ticket. So I was like, this is going to be interesting. So you got to, come to Texas. Steven's website, officialstephenpiercy.com. You can see what dates, the official dates that he has up there. But there's some great stuff we're going to be doing this year, including M3, some more festivals that'll be announced. There's a cruise that I can't announce yet that we're going to be doing. That's probably the most popular one that all those 80s bands do.
All right. Very cool. I can't believe that you're not going to tell everybody that it's Jay Weinberg. That's where he landed, was with the Stephen Piercy band.
Right. No, people know that he's actually in Infectious Grooves currently. Yeah.
Well, until the Steven dates start.
That's right.
Until the Piercy dates start, then he'll leave Robert Trujillo and join you guys.
What do you think of Infectious Grooves? Were you a fan of that?
I was and am. I am thrilled. I am one of these guys, I'll be honest about it. Mike Muir can do no wrong for me. I loved him in Infectious Grooves. Of course, I loved him in Suicidal Tendencies. I even loved his that off project that most people do not remember, Psycho Maiko, which was a great band. I saw it. They played here in Cleveland one time. I saw him. It was fantastic. I am a total fan of Mike Muir. He's fantastic. Infectious Grooves was interesting to me because they were like Faith No More before Faith No More, or maybe I don't even remember if they were
more skate punk. Suicidal Tendencies, first memory was the Pepsi song.
All I wanted was a Pepsi.
Well, that's Suicidal. I'm talking about Infectious.
Right, I understand. Okay. But then I'm just making the chronological evolution of it all. That's my introduction to them, and then Infectious Grooves kind of came later, and that was when that funk factor of the late 80s was coming into play. The Red Hot Chili Peppers were really shooting up the charts, if you will. Faith No More, a lot of bass heavy stuff. And yeah, I guess Robert Trujillo was with them then, right? He was.
Yeah, Trujillo was with Infectious Grooves. And there was other bands that were trying the funk thing right around that time too. Didn't work out as well for them. Like the one that jumps right to mind to me is the Electric Boys. Remember the Electric Boys with Lips and Hips? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a pretty fun. If you ever listen to that album, Funko Metal, was it Funko Metal Carpet Ride? That's a pretty funky record too. There was a lot of bands that were trying that all at the same time.
Yeah, I liked it, myself included.
I did too.
The first songs I was writing as a teenager in the 1990 or so, I was like, 17, 18, did have a funk factor because I also loved bands like NXS and stuff. Yeah, so okay. I wrote a band called Psychedelic Bottom End Groove.
Some song there. Nice.
It was fun, and those earlier songs, people liked them too when we were playing them, but it was a sign of the times. I had recently on my face posted a picture of me when I was 18, like playing it was the first time I was in a newspaper where like the newspaper had covered the concert that we did right here in Oceanside. It was actually like a few hundred feet away from where I am right now at the amphitheater there. And I remember it was amazing. The radio station was starting to have us do events for them, and that was a great place to be because then all the national acts that came to town, they would have us open the shows. If it was a club show, we were in like every time.
Right.
We were the most requested band on Rock 102.1 in San Diego, which present day is Rock 105.3, but it used to be Rock 102.1. We were definitely the most requested local band. They played our music all the time, right from the get, from the first songs I wrote with the band, with drum machines and stuff. They were playing those on the radio. And then by like 1993, we had got some better studio recordings. And that just took us to the top level you could get locally. We had like, I remember the band Voodoo is what I'm talking about. And this was with the singer who was Andy Milner, who was the actor Martin Milner from the Adam 12 show. One Adam 12. Yeah, his dad was Martin Milner, very famous actor. Andy was super talented. He had a lot of personality and he had a great singing voice. He just came from a family of like entertainers, and he also had a ton of friends like from the 80s, the late 80s and the bands he played in, which made it like a lot easier playing clubs here. Like when I got him to be the singer, we had already like our first shows had a 100 people because he knew at least 50 that brought somebody.
Right.
And then once we were getting on the radio, we were like selling out the clubs here. We sold like 5,000 records just here in San Diego, and we never left. We never even left the town. That's a lot of records for just the local
that
band.
Is
anyway, but things got a little weird with the band. Those guys were all older than me. They were like 10 years older than me. I was definitely the youngest dude in the band, and they were handling the finances, and it was really revolving around them. I was like 100% in on the band, but I was trying to work as little as possible. I had like rock stardom. I just wanted I was all skinny. I was like this like starving musician. And I really needed to learn a lot more on guitar probably, but I was always good at writing songs and those were good memories. And Steven Gott was involved in that time too. I of course knew him, and he was a help back then. And that's what ended up getting me the gig later. Is he knew me from that band and knew that I could at least play that good. I could probably play his solo music and
right
some of the Rat songs, and ended up getting the gig with them when I was 27. So that was cool. And I've been there ever since.
Oh yeah, he hung around. Let me see. Where's that one? You want to answer that or no?
Yeah, that, but no, not for good. That's a pretty strong thing. Like, no, yeah, I mean, Scotty,
does anybody ever leave the Steven Piercy band for good?
Well, I mean, well, maybe there's probably has been a few people that it's for good, but, it's with, Scott, he's rejoined the band at least like three different times over the,
right. And he's out with Ace right now, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say like in the last like 16 years, he's, you know, Scott's joined the band and departed to do another gig at least three times.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I know Ace is on tour right now, so.
Right, right. So this went on with LA Guns, Lita Ford, these different times where he wasn't with us, you know, and okay. So that's not a shock, and definitely it was on good terms. I heard from him. He addressed us and bid us farewell, and I was like, yeah, you know, we'll definitely be seeing you out there rocking with Ace. We have the same agent, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we'll be on some of the same shows, and it's all good. We'll always be brothers, band brothers, right?
Absolutely. And now that you got Gene Hoagland in the seat instead, that should be even that's better. Nice. All right, let's do this, Eric. Let's take a little break. I'm going to play a spot. You're going to disconnect and reconnect because you keep going blurry. But we'll take a break, and then we will be back, and I've got a very definite band question that I do want to ask you. So
awesome. So okay, I'll pop up and back.
Yeah, so hang tight, everybody. We will be back in a few minutes. It is Chris Akin Presents.
The most exciting and most talked about show today is Chris Akin Presents. If you like great interviews, real road stories, and more, then Chris Akin, Eric Ferrantinos, and their cast of characters have the show that you need to watch. Catch the show live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at ChrisAkin.net, CMS TV, Wowza TV, Rumble, and X. There's always lunacy happening on Chris Akin Presents.